Sister Stephanie to come up.
I hope I didn't butter you up.
Yeah, I'll pay for it. Hi, I'm Stephanie, a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I have to apologize to you, Deborah. You asked me last month, and I told you honestly I am not comfortable with it. And because Bruce picked me up a couple times on the way to the meetings, I felt, how could I say no? And my sponsor always said, don't say no. And the funny thing was, I was asked to do this, and somebody came up to me the other day and asked me to leave tomorrow night. And I thought about it, and then I said, no. My sponsor said, you don't do that either. And that goes way back, 34 years ago. But anyway, I try to do what people ask me to do. The steps to me are a way of life. I don't just do them, I try to live them. And sometimes it's not easy to live what this is asking us. It says that we made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And I don't know, I have a German streak, I'm German. And to apologize or to say to somebody, I'm sorry, sometimes it takes me a little while. I'm a nun, and I should be able to do it right away. Well, sometimes I have to think about it for a while. We know that that in step four, we made inventory of all our wrongs, and in step five, we admitted to God and to another person. And this one, that was maybe it was hard to try to retract what you did in step four, and then go to have one person to talk to about it in step five. That's hard enough. But I think that step eight, going to the people, make a list. And I did that several times. And everybody has a different path. I drank at the convent and in the neighborhood. So to the people I had to make amends to, they were glad I was in a program. When I told them, you know, what I was doing, I was going to AA, I went to rehab, they said, we're just happy you're not doing this anymore. Everybody does it differently. Some people probably, and I think there are people out there that I could have made a fool out of myself at a party. Most of them were at faculty things, so I could always go to the people on the faculty. And they were no better than I was, to tell you the truth. But at least I did my part. So anyway, we have to make our wrongs, and we did that in 4 and 5. However, in 8, we make a list. Who did we hurt? I didn't hurt anybody physically, but I hurt them by my mouth. And even today, I had an episode today. I had to take somebody somewhere at 8 o'clock this morning, and the newspapers were really late. I'm the paper girl. There's 14 papers to get past at the mother house. Now, if you think that's fun, where is the paper? Why didn't we get a paper? Who took our paper? Oh my God. So anyway, my own apartment never picked up their paper. And I don't know anybody in the apartment. There are 5 people with a broken arm. So she said, as soon as I walked in, she said to me, we didn't get a paper today. So did you go to the front desk? Oh, she said, I don't know where they are. I said, the front desk, that's where they are. There's a slip that tells you to check off. I was kind of mouthy. Now I have to go apologize. I didn't do that yet. I told you, I'm German. It takes a while. And how did you hurt them? Well, I didn't ever get in a brawl. I never hit anybody. But as I said, probably what I said could hurt more. And can you remember everybody? I don't remember everybody. I try to remember the people that were involved with me right in the area. This is a very large order. How can we remember and backtrack all our wreckage of the past? Well, if you read step 8 in the book, it's impossible. That's why it says to be willing to do it. Willing. If you have the opportunity. I had the opportunity shortly after I came into the program. I live with, well, 3 or 4 other sisters. So I had an opportunity to make my amends to them, you know. And half time they weren't around anyway. They were gone. But I did, tried the best. And if anybody that comes in my, that I think about, and I have the ability or see them, I can say, you know, this incident that happened, I'm sorry. But I try to do it as soon as possible. Might be a day or two, but I do try. Because I can't live with having that in me. We have done this in our moral inventory. We did a lot with our moral inventory. So a lot of people say to me, well, step 8, I did tell people that I was sorry. Family usually first, because they're the ones that are that suffer the most, I think. And sometimes people in your workplace, you know, faculty members. But you know, I had a faculty that drank as much as I did. But I still went to them and said, you know, I'm trying to live the better way. Forgiveness, that's the key. To forgive. You know, you hear people say, yeah, you did this and I'm not going to forgive you. I can't forgive you. Well, we're not God. If God can forgive us, then who are we? We have to try. And I don't know that there's anybody that I feel today that I might run into somebody maybe I did forgot about, and then a thought comes, whoa, they remember this. Making an admission, especially we were in poor favor with those people. Well, if they don't accept our apologies or see that we're trying to be the persons we are, we've done our part. There's nothing else. Then step 8, we realize that we thought we only hurt ourselves, forgetting it involved your family, your friends, and coworkers. And as I said, I made restitution to the nuns that were around me and to the staff that I worked with. And like I said, the only thing they said, we're glad you're doing what you're doing. And I think that's an attitude that a lot of people... I was fortunate because, you know, now you would get a DUI. Back in 83, you didn't get DUIs. I could have been sitting in jail because I drove a lot of times under the influence. And today, I think when people have accidents and somebody gets hit and they say drunk driving, I always say, for the grace of God, that wasn't me, you know? And it could have been. It could have been. I could have been in jail. Now, I went to jail 4 times, but not for that. I went to Attica with, as some of people remember, John Murray and Wilbur and those old characters. And that's an experience. But I was sober. I was sober. We also thought of ourselves, but our reputation was on the line also. We thought nobody knew what we were doing. I didn't think... You know, I thought everybody else would join in. I can remember, you know, liking beer. And I thought, well, everybody likes that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. At first, I never realized beer was an alcoholic beverage. And then when I got wise, I found out. And, you know, we're the last to know. And how did we react when people said, I think you have a problem? Oh, you know. Sometimes we can't make restitution because of death, location, illness, etc. Now, my own family never really saw me drinking because I lived out of town. I went home once a year. They'd have a case of beer. I would drink some. But you know how we're real careful. But then I look back, and sometimes I was, you know, I think of how I reacted to a comment, which was the influence of my drinking, even though I wasn't drinking. And that's a thing that a lot of times I forget. It's how I react, how you react, even though you're not drinking. Write to the person. If you know, you remember somebody that you really, and you can't, you don't know where they are now, they moved away, or you can find an address or somewhere, way of contacting them, I'd do that. I wrote letters to people that I remember, and I said, you know, I straightened out my life, and I'm not drinking anymore, and so on. And if you can, write the letter anyway and destroy it. That's what I did with my fifth step. You know, destroy it. You did the footwork. That's important. It's that we're doing the footwork. Sometimes the harm done has not been great, and it leaves us emotionally. It may be, like I said, a lot of times we don't do real bad harm. I remember the one night I was drinking and I ran through a wrought iron fence. And at first I thought I was Evel Knievel. And I wanted to... So the next day I did. I went to the rectory and said that I'd like to, you know, pay for the fence. And the priest was wonderful. He knew already I was drunk, you know. He said, well, insurance will pay it. But... I tried to rectify it. I didn't always do that. I can remember one night, two of us, one of the nuns was ironing a habit or something, and she dropped the iron, and it was cement floor like that, and the iron broke. And because superiors at those days were kind of rough, she said, do you have any glue? I said, sure. So we glued the iron together. So that person came down later to use the iron. Of course, you know the story, the iron fell apart. Well, kind of said something about the iron, and nobody admitted it. Today, I try to admit if I drop something, break it, I say, you know, I broke this or this happened, but we were afraid. And we weren't drinking at the time, but I still remember that. And the same with other things, you know. If you do something, you know, make up, say that you're, and what are the harms? Some harms were physical. If you got into fights and beat somebody up and broke their nose or something, I think you have to make, and some of it is spiritual. You had no relationship with any higher power. And now you're back to your higher power, which you call whatever. I always love it because I'm a chaplain in a lot of nursing homes, St. Mary's included. And one Sunday I had to do communion rounds, and we don't get a list of the new people till Monday morning. So I went into this room, and the lady was a sterling lady. And I right away I say who I am. I don't say what religion or you or faith. And right away she said, I'm atheist. I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. But the other chaplain that we had, I said, don't go in there. Because she would try to evangelize her. And I thought, oh, brother, I don't need that. But it's just whatever you believe, you know. We caused worry. Mainly worry. I can remember our neighbor. They were our janitors. And she'd always call me over to have a beer. Well, when it got worse, you know, they got a little nervous. And one night they didn't see the car. And they were a wreck because they wondered if I had an accident and I didn't get home. So you don't think of that. I didn't think of that till she said, they said to me they were worried about me. You know. We can be irritable, calloused. Well, they hurt me too, you know. There's two sides of the street. Some people say things to us, you know, and we can come back at it. That's not what we have, what we do. We take it on the limb because I have to remember my behavior, not somebody else's. And sometimes I don't remember, like today I was not happy because she made the comment, well, we didn't get a paper, and I thought, here, I wasn't even home. But I have to learn, and I'm still working on me. It's a life process. We don't do this overnight. If you're new, a couple of years, it's a life struggle. It's life. And you know, we're happy, I'm happy that I have a program that tells me what I can do. And some people out there are floundering around. They don't know how to handle it. And then, many will be amazed at your confession and never realize that it really affected them. Sometimes they look at you and, what are you talking about? You didn't do that. You weren't like that. Well, we know in our conscience we were. If it involves a marriage, money, and etc., there has to be restitution. I made restitution because I kept the checking account. And we know we can't remember, and something, you know, has to balance and doesn't always balance right. Well, you make those restitutions. If it involved a marriage, you have to do the best you can. If it's better not to, whatever has to be done. But we have to make an attempt. Through the situation come up has been, a lot of them have been forgotten. Most after the other party doesn't, a lot of them will say, I don't remember that. I don't remember you doing that. Or I don't remember you saying that. Or that happened. That's good. But I remember it. And so my conscience is free. And we get peace. After we do this, we have peace of mind. Now I know people say, well, I did the steps. Now I'm done. I'm not done. I do them every day. I go through all of them and see where I need to. Sometimes I fail. We have to walk humbly with God. Remember, the steps are our lifeline. They're our lifeline. And I've made a fourth and fifth step a couple times. And I go over these steps every day. And like I said, I have to apologize to that nun, probably tomorrow, and I won't see her tonight, but I'll probably apologize and say, you know, I was a little flippant, and but the funny thing was, she was mad about the paper, and three people came looking for me and said, were you sick today? We didn't see you in church. I said, no, I had to be out, so I wasn't there. But it was nice that they looked for me. You know, there was a time when I lived with those other nuns, they didn't look for me. They were glad they didn't have to be around me. So today, it's a great life. And with that, I'm finished.
Yeah, but you don't get to sit down.
Huh?
You don't get to sit down.
Oh, I don't?
No, we got some.
Oh, don't ask me any questions.
I'd like to thank you, Sister Stephanie. I think you did a great job. What does this say? Now we have opened the floor for questions, which are unrelated to the topic we had. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask?
Good. Oh, yeah, get away from that one. Don't point it that way.
This is what I need.
Oh,
yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Sister Steph, I want to thank you for covering the eighth step and a great job. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about the role of a sponsor in making that list, and deciding. In my case, there were some people I thought I owed amends to, but my sponsor said I didn't, and I think I just wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Probably, I would sit down with them and ask what questions they had about their family or whatever situation they had been in, and how they would like to go about making that restitution or whatever they are feeling.
Anybody else?
Make it real quick.
I'm brand alcoholics. Stephanie, you're so honest, so I have two questions for you. Have you ever gone to anybody to make an amend, and did they say, I don't want to hear it, or I don't care? Because I've actually heard of that happening.
No, the most of the people that I did suggested, were so glad that I was in a program, and they didn't even remember some of the stuff I mentioned to them.
Yeah. I heard that part. And did you ever find yourself in a situation, honestly, where you hoped and prayed that somebody would die before you had to make an amend to them?
Not really.
Because I've heard that, too. That's all I have. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic. And my question was, once again, I want to thank you for speaking on the eighth step. You had mentioned about saying you were sorry. I was wondering if you could differentiate between like an apology and saying you're sorry, and what an amend would be.
When I said I was sorry for the behavior I displayed in my actions. I just, wasn't just superficial. I was trying to be a better person. So I think that's the sorry that you show.
Thank you.
Did, my mother said you're sorry and you did it again. See, that's the difference. Would I go back and do over what I've done?
Thank you. Anybody else?
You're getting off me. You're getting off easy.
Good. You're getting off easy. Good. That was the idea.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Chris. I owe you.
Now you
can
apologize.
Don't worry, I'll still give you a ride.
Are there any announcements from the floor?
AA announcements. Monday night at